God for all of the visitors and friends. Amen. And I thank God for those words of encouragement that Minister Simon gave to Brother Haywood. Amen. Haywood's been a singer for a long time. Amen. It's time to let God use you. Anybody want to just be used? Psalm said, Lord, if you can use anyone, just use me. Amen. We thank God for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. And we just thank God for all that He's doing. We thank God for my wife. Amen. God bless and keep her. Thank God she has on a really nice hat. Thank you, Jesus. We used to have hat Sundays. On the fourth Sunday, we used to have hat Sunday where all the ladies wore hats.
Amen.
I'm down south, so we always wore hats to church. So I didn't want to intrude. I said, can we do this every fourth Sunday? Amen. Thank God. Amen. Sister Bloomfield has on her hat. Give me her hat. Amen. It's not a bad day, but it's just so nice. You know, we grew up on Easter, especially we always had on our hats. Even the young boys had on hats. Amen. When I go down south there, all of the preachers always wear a hat. And matter of fact, one of the older gentlemen, much older than we are, saw me and my wife, and he looked at my wife. He said, I can tell you one thing about you today. She said, what's that? He said, you just came to church. True story, right? He said, you just came from church. He said, it's so nice in this day and age to see people look like they're coming from church when they're coming from church. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with being a representative, is it? Amen. But truly, we just thank God for all that He's doing. And once again, our theme is what?
Believing God against all odds.
Believing God against
all odds.
All odds. Amen. Sometimes the odds might feel as though the odds are standing against you and you don't have any way out. When you look at it, it just doesn't seem, you can't understand how God can do it. But I'm mindful of the Lord. When He passed by the fig tree, and the scripture said it had no figs on it, so the Lord cursed the fig tree. But the apostles that were with Him marveled at how fast the fig tree withered away. And the Lord simply said, have faith in God. And in today's interpretation, it means have the faith of God. So when your odds are stacked against you, you have to have faith. Amen? You have to have faith. I don't know, did we make the announcement that this, you may have, but this Thursday and Friday, we're supposed to be in a 10 revival service with New Jerusalem. You don't make that, right? Thursday and Friday, and in praise Him, we'll be singing Friday. Nothing wrong with fellowship. The scripture said, we went over in our minister's class this morning, the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. But He followed that scripture up and said that they continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So we enlarge ourselves when we fellowship. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the 9th chapter of Mark. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know who the Savior is? I said, isn't it wonderful to know who the Savior is? Hallelujah. Job said, now I've heard of God by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes do see. It's something about when you can see God moving in the midst. When I look at all of you and I know the road that many of us have come, I know God is in the midst. Hallelujah. The devil had his way. Guess what? None of us will be here today. But God is in the midst. Amen. Our scripture reading will be Mark chapter 9, verses 16 through 24. When we all have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Verse 16 reads, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. if they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and said, oh, faithless, you gotta have faith. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? He said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him. Lord, thank you. I know one of the scriptures said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy labor. God gives us a promise, and he would give us rest. So when they couldn't get him, anybody got one of those real bad situations that nobody else can do it? You're going to the pastors, you're going to the preachers, you're going to everybody else. They could not do it. Jesus said, just bring it to me. I said, bring it to me. Hallelujah. Y'all with me? I said, slow down. She said, slow down. I can't slow down. I try slow. All right. Amen. Jesus said, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And his father, he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do, Lord, thank you. God can do anything. If thou can do anything, have compassion on us and Lord, I don't know about my situation. Lord, it's real bad, but if thou can do anything, if you can do anything, compassion on us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now, believing means you don't just start, but you have to continue to believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou. Once again, Lord, but help thou my Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank you that your presence is in this place. Lord, your word is this, and if two or three of us be gathered together in your name, that you shall be in the midst. Oh God, on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to search hearts. Lord, somebody this morning came to the house of God looking for answers. Lord, somebody is looking for direction. Someone, oh God, is on the verge of giving up and quitting. Lord, we ask you to send the word to them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, some have more doubts than answers. Lord, some have more doubts than belief. Lord, we ask you to send the word. And for this, we thank you in the church and in Jesus' name. You know, the Lord spoke, said that somebody in this morning is on the verge of quitting. Like somebody, they're going through all the emotions, but they're on the real verge of quitting. On the inside, they have really given up. And they came to church and they said, Lord, I'm going to give you one more chance. This message is for you. Hallelujah. I don't do that often, but I got to be obedient to God. Amen. Once again, this is a man that had a son that was in a very, very, very bad spiritual condition. And he brought them to the church because the apostles represent the church. He brought them to the spiritual leadership at that time, and they couldn't do anything. So, because the apostles and the disciples could not deliver the child, Jesus came and he asked them a question. In verse number 17, one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a... He brought him unto Jesus, but Jesus was not yet there. But he knew wherever he could find the disciples. Eventually, the Lord would show up. Somebody said, I don't know why I go to church. Eventually, Amen. But God did come because God knew there was a need. So many times we come to church and it might seem like God is not there. But just rest in the fact that he will show up. And he said, whatsoever he taketh them, he teareth them, and he falleth. He said, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast them out, and they could not. He was in a bad spiritual condition. That person this morning is on the verge of giving up. Is in a bad spiritual condition. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with thee? How long shall I suffer you? He said, just bring that problem to me. Amen. I said, you know, don't come in down an unbelief. Bring that problem to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the devil always wants to cast doubt. Now, just picture this. This man brings his son to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He brings his child to the one that said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. And then once that child gets in the presence of the Lord, that spirit acts up. Anybody come to church, you be feeling good, and you get in the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden that spirit tried to act up. Amen. He was quiet till he got before Jesus, but the spirit acted up. Anybody feel this morning like I came to church and everything was all right, but maybe you got a phone call, that spirit is acting up. You on your way to church to hear a word from God, and all the way something happened, that spirit is acting up. Can we say praise the Lord? And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. In all time it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. He said, Lord, you're my last hope. That person is born a person giving up. There's always hope in Jesus. The Bible says, if we hope for that, then we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And then Paul tells the Roman church, hope maketh not ashamed. If you're hoping in God, you won't be shamed, and God won't let you down. He said, well, what's my guarantee that God won't let me down? What's my guarantee that I can have some hope in the midst of this bitter situation? He said, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. That is your assurance. That is your guarantee that God won't let you be shamed, but you have to keep the faith. Can we say thank you, Lord? Can we say thank you?
And
believe. And that might sound like an oxymoron. When it's an opposite, you know? Like, you're burning cold, right? You are a loving hater. Those are opposites. Well, what in the world is an unbelieving believer? Isn't that something to think about? Are you an unbelieving believer? The man said plainly, he said, Lord, I believe. But help thou by thy belief. Amen. Before we go any further, let us go to Titus chapter 1. An unbelieving believer is someone that has learned the church mechanics. They go all through the motions. They have a right talk. Hallelujah. But when we see them, we have to question their walk. They say all the right things. They act all in the right ways. But when the rubber meets the road, we question whether they really know God or not. Titus 1, verse 14 through 16. When you get it, can you say amen? This is Paul writing to his son Titus in the gospel. He says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn anything that turns you from the truth. Paul said, don't you listen to that. Anything that calls doubt in your mind, Paul said, don't listen to that. If it's going to make you question the veracity and the truthfulness of God's word, don't you listen to it. Even if it's your best friend and it makes you doubt the truth, don't you listen to that. Well, why would we listen to someone that's making us doubt the truth? Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. Now, a lot of times we say the truth will set us free. That's not what it says. It says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Set means there's some chances that it might not happen. Like you can set a dog loose, but you don't have to go loose. You ever have a dog and you just loose his chain and he's sitting there because he's been chained for so long, he don't know that he's free. Right? So you can set him free, but that don't mean he's going to go anywhere because he's been in this situation for so long, he doesn't realize he's free. But Jesus says, no, when I come on the scene, I'm going to make you free. In other words, the Lord is not going to release you from what's holding you. He's going to release the chain that had you bound. So the truth will make you free. Does the devil know that? In the beginning, when they're trying to train the elephant, it's hard because that elephant is big and that elephant is powerful. Right? Technically speaking, those little ropes and chains could hold an elephant. But they train the elephant, as long as you're on this chain, don't you do anything. As long as I have you bound in this situation, even though you're more powerful, don't you do anything. Well, that's the same thing that the adversary has done to many of us. We are more powerful with God than he is. But he's trained us on the chain. So as long as we are hooked on the chain, we don't think we are free. Amen. They said, those elephants, listen, have you ever saw the chains that hold elephants? They said those chains really can't hold an elephant, but they've been trained to stay on the chain. Look at somebody and tell them, don't you be trained to stay on the chain. So we're an actor, right? So look at somebody and say, don't you be trained to stay on the chain. That's the devil's desire to keep you in that situation. When God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will. Anybody want to be free? Then stay in the truth. Somebody But God has freed you. When you get baptized in Jesus' name and filled the Holy Ghost, the Lord is that Spirit. Then that Spirit indwells you, and God says, everywhere you go, I go with you. So every time the devil comes up to stand in your way, they say, what you can't do, he said, just be still. And know that anybody this afternoon just needs to be still and know that he's God. Hallelujah. So the devil don't want you to believe the truth, because if you believe the truth, that change that's been happening to you for all these months, years, or whatever the situation might be, won't hold you, because God has made you free. So he tells him, he says, in the latter part, he said, that turn from the truth. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. And he's trying to teach him about truth. Amen. And in truth, a lot of times we can look at something. Did y'all see the cartoon in the bulletin? Did anybody see the cartoon in the bulletin? The cartoon, can you put that cartoon in there for a minute? This is what the devil does. Now, Jesus has made us free. Jesus can deliver you out of anything. But the problem is, we won't give him the situation. We just keep holding on to them. He said, Are you stubborn? Stubborn means that you just want to hold on and keep it what? Your way. Are you a stubborn Christian? Now, who you know say no Jesus? But just want to say another comment. Alright, for those that say, hey Jesus, no, this is just a comment. But it teaches a truth. Jesus said, why won't you let go of that chain? Why are you being so stubborn? I don't care what anybody said. What did the Lord say? Right? He said, unto him that believeth, all things are possible. He said, why are you so stubborn? Don't you know? Does anybody know who the Lord is? He said, don't you know who I am? He said, you can trust me. But the Christian, that unbelieving believer, the Christian said, trust. You can't trust the Lord, who can you trust? If you can't believe God, who can you trust? I mean, if you can't trust Jesus is going to make a way for you, who can you trust? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, we weren't even worthy of salvation, he died for us. If you can't trust somebody like that, who can you trust? He told the Christian, I know it's a call, but the Christian says, so you can take advantage. She's struggling and sweating. See all the sweat come off her head? But she don't want to let go of those problems, even though the Lord can help her. The stubborn Christian. What's the Christian carrying? Cares, worries, problems, and... All right, we'll go back to the word of God. I just wanted to tell you, he wants a little stubborn. Something that God could have fixed, you won't let him have it because you don't fully trust him. And you don't really believe. You are not believing, believer. Because if you really believe, when he said, give it to me, you said, Lord, this thing is way too big for me. You can have it. Amen. So unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their conscience is defiled. Now, an unbelieving Christian is one that will talk the talk, but they don't walk. Thank God, we don't know anybody like that, but if you ever watch TV, they watch those fictitious stories. You see some people that will talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So Paul tells Timothy, he said, they profess that they profess that they know God, an unbelieving believer. Someone that has learned the church mechanics. They know when it's time to shout. They know when it's time to praise God. They know when it's time to get a step on. Hallelujah, but they still don't believe. They profess that they know God, but in words they deny him. that you will get your mind off of your deliverer, and our deliverer is Jesus. So in Matthew 13 and 22, the Bible gives an illustration, while we went over it on Wednesday night, about self-examination. It said a sower went out to sow some seeds, but some of the seed fell among thorns. And the Lord interpreted, he said the thorns is the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. So if you don't separate yourself from the world and these cares, they will distract you. And then in you being distracted, you will miss the mark of God because you become an unbelieving believer. Why? Because you focus more on the problem than the problem solver. You focus more on the winds of adversity that are blowing in your life than to keep your eyes on Jesus. As long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, Peter was able to walk on the troubled water. Hallelujah. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, immediately he began to sing. How many of us today are distracted by what's going on in our life? And he's taking our eyes off of Jesus. The scriptures say, is there anybody this afternoon that's wallowing in your situation and don't have hope for deliverance? Get your eyes back on Jesus, because you have become distracted. Hallelujah. God is moving all around you and you can't see God because you are distracted. So problem number one about an unbelieving believer is they are easily distracted. I purpose that I'm going to go pray and read my Bible. But somebody called and asked me, do I want to go shopping? I'm just using me because I want shopping. I won't tell the story when I first got saved. I had clothes when I was 13. My wife wore all my clothes a week. We got married when I was 21. I've been wearing those clothes since I was 13. I was so disappointed. I had my real nice jacket. My mother bought me when I was in the 8th grade. Two colors for my birthday. I came home, my coat was gone. I had this coat for 8-9 years. They said she threw my stuff away because I don't shop. I will tell you another story, but it'd be too close to home. Sometimes people think I'm in the flying on up here preaching. Somebody think I'm in the flying down up here preaching because my collars have a tendency to fly. Those collars ain't doing the fucking chicken. Alright, listen, I told you I had to do something in once in a while to keep everybody involved, but nevertheless, alright? But you're easily distracted. Amen? So you're supposed to be praying, but somebody gives you a call and you forget about God because you are. I purpose that this week I'm going to fast. Amen? I'm going to fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And somebody called you on Monday and said, we're going to the buffet. We're going to the buffet. Man, let's be fast. I got this real bad situation. The Bible says some of these things only come out by prayer and fasting. I pray, but the buffet? And then I pay for it? You know how hungry I am? Don't be distracted. If you committed to God to fast, go ahead and fast. Don't be distracted. Even though they're going to pay for you to have a buffet, somebody said that's just a test. That's just a test. God will see it for a second. So don't be easily distracted. Another way that you can tell when a person is an unbelieving believer is that they have a hard time separating themselves from unbelievers. Right? An unbelieving believer has a challenge separating themselves from unbelievers because they've been my friend for all these years. I have a lot of friends that have all these years. I talk to them, I encourage them, I am cordial, but I don't spend
from. They have problems separating themselves from bad situations because I have just known them for so long. This is an unbelieving believer. And if we were to use a text there, it'd be 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, when the Lord said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Right? If we're going to serve God, we're not going to go down to the Buddhist church to serve God, because they serve Buddha, which is an idol. So I said, wait, those I believe God, he said, well, what agreement has the temple of God with idol? And just for your own sake, if you didn't know it, once God filled you with the Holy Ghost, you became the temple. Once you got the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you became the temple of God. Now, kind of watch this. See this. Watch this. See this. You are the temple of God. So if I'm the temple of God, and I take the temple of God into an unsaved dance club, I just took the temple with idols. I'm just saying, we're trying to identify what is an unbelieving believer. So I am now the temple of God because God is in me. So when, if I keep, let's see, this happened to me years ago. I went to visit one of my friends after I first got saved, and all they had in there was marijuana, meth, and beer and stuff everywhere. Now I'm a believer. And God's Spirit is in me. So what do I do? Do I want to hurt their feelings, or do I let God down? I'm just asking you, what's the most important thing? We're trying to identify the characteristics and the traits of an unbelieving believer. So I went in there and you couldn't even see because there was nothing but clouds. And I was seeing, I had been in the world long enough to know to hold my breath, because if you've been in the environment too long, you get what they call a contact high. Yes. And I just, what do you know about that? I wouldn't see no more. But listen. So when I go in the environment and I got God's Spirit in me, I just took the temple of God and put it in. Is that enough examples? So we are the temple of God. So we can't take God's temple and put it in a bad, ugly, dirty situation because we have God with us. You ever go somewhere and they're playing soap? When I drive down the street sometimes, even when I was in my truck, it was 100 degrees out. They had so much profanity, I had to roll up my windows so the temple of God would not be defiled. Some of the stuff they listen to that they call music. But it just makes me feel good. You are still God. So you just took that temple and you put it in that foolishness? And the Bible talks about profanity and taking the name of the Lord in vain, and that's all they do? You are a temple. And you can't take that temple and put it with? Is anybody there? So it says in the latter part of that, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he said, don't even touch it. He said, well, I'm strong and spiritual enough, I can do this. He said, no, don't you even touch it. God is me. I got a little time. Because all my business, I want y'all to come back, but it's going to help you a little bit. I'm just saying, an unbelieving believer. God told the children of Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt and when he had blessed them to conquer Jericho, and they went to fight, they went to, I believe it was Ai. God told them, he said, now when you go fight, he said, don't you touch the unclean stuff. Don't you even touch it. He said, their garments, their gold. He said, when you go, leave that stuff alone. Well, how many know every time you go to church, you got somebody that's going to test God? Yes. They went and touched the idol. A man by the name of Achan went and took a Babylonian garment. He took the silver and he took the gold and he hid it in the earth. Didn't tell the
nobody.
But then when the children of Israel went to that next battle, they lost. They were shocked. They were amazed. Like, I believe in God. I trust God. What happened? The reason I lost this battle. And God told Joshua, he says, don't sit around here crying. He said, there's sin in the camp.
We talk about taking the tongue of God with fighters.
Yes.
He said, there's sin in the camp. So they went through lots of strong and fell on Achan. And he said, son, what have you done? How it is because God has exposed you and you're the reason that we're being held back.
He said, all I did was touch what you told me not to touch.
I touched something that was
unclean. That's just a small story, all right?
So let's keep going. So that's one. Number two is that we won't separate themselves from unbelievers. Number three, they do not fully trust God. An unbelieving believer says, yes, I know God, I know about God, but then when you're put to the test, you don't fully trust God. And the scripture says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all. Now, when you fully trust God, you say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. I don't understand it. But if you told me to do it, I'm going to do it because I want to be obedient and I want to walk in the truth. So he said, you're supposed to trust God with all your heart. And the conflict or the opposition to trusting God with all your heart is leaning to your own. So if you lean into your understanding, you don't fully trust God. If you fully trust God, then you don't worry about what you think. Right? Because the Bible even said, when a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth that not yet as he ought to know it. Somebody said, you better hurry up before we start walking out of your car. But we're talking about, we want to know how in the world am I all messed up and ready to give up on God? What environment are you creating with yourself? Where are you taking yourself? What things are you allowing to distract you spiritually and say, I trust God? You know, Jesus, when somebody said, I trust God, about 2 minutes later, they spoke a cigarette, drinking, and used profanity. Like, what God are you trusting? Right? If you fully trust God, then you do what God said, and you don't lean to your own understanding. So my own understanding, so what God understands, I'm just weak. God said, no, you got to fully trust him. Amen. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Now the cartoon that stubborn Christians said, I'm not giving you this. Because that individual does not fully trust God. Number four, they are always putting other people and things before God. It's time to go to church. I got tickets to the Sixers. Oh, they ain't that good. Who's looking? We don't go to the Sixers. People sell like Sixers seats. Who's good? Cleveland, okay, LeBron James, all y'all legends. I can go to church, I can go see LeBron James. I got these tickets. God can understand if I just skip one day. But I fully trust God, right? I heard the scripture say it this way. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. So if the church is together, then you ought to be there. But my own understanding said, God understands. You know how long I've waited for these things? So they're always putting other things before God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye. I wanted to just know, what are we seeking first? Whatever you're seeking is what occupies your mind and your thinking the most. That's what you are now seeking. What are you seeking? How often is God resonating in your mind and heart? What are you seeking? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God's name. This is how people miss it. How do you miss this? He said, if you seek God first his righteousness, everything else is going to add to you. Well, we're trying to add everything else. And forgetting God. This is an unbelieving believer. Number five, they make excuses for why they are not obedient to the word of God. An unbelieving believer would make excuses. chooses. And I'll just give you this scripture reference. Read Luke 14 and 16 when the Lord gives a parable on a man that had a supper and bade them to come in. And the Bible says, one by one they begin to make excuses. Well, I just got married. You certainly don't think I'm going to church today. I just bought some ox. I got to go out and prove them. This, I'm going to tell you, this is the crazy part of that, on the ox. They weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. Right? This is, you know, it's just an excuse. So they weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. So how are you going to prove his ox on the day when he wasn't supposed to? No charge. It's just an excuse. Right? So an unbelieving believer is full of excuses. This one might hit some other people hard. Thank God it doesn't touch any of us. An unbelieving believer will justify themselves rather than God. Unbelieving believer will justify themselves rather than God. Now let's go to this, Luke 16. We're going to read verses 10 through 13 and 15. An unbelieving believer will justify themselves and forget about God. An unbelieving believer will please themselves and forget about pleasing God. I heard what the Lord said, that Jesus said, I do always the things that please my Father. But the latter portion of that we miss. He said, because I do always the things that please my Father, I know whatever I ask, he will do it for me. So when I keep God first, I have a blessed assurance that God will honor me and give me what I ask. Amen. So they justify themselves. Luke 16 says, in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, an unbelieving believer is not faithful. Praise the Lord. If you therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous man, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you which is your own? No servant can serve. Hallelujah. You can't serve God and the devil. You cannot serve two masters. So if you're not faithful to God, then that means in your unfaithfulness, you're serving another. Are you with me? Can serve two masters. Finally, he will hate the one and love the other. He will hold to one hand. He cannot serve God and men. And he said unto them, verse 15, and he said unto them, ye are they which an unfaithful believer and an unbelieving believer would justify themselves before men, but not God. Because it says, but God knoweth, God knows your heart. Unbelievably, I'm going to justify myself so everybody will think the best of me, but God know your heart. So everybody else can excuse it away, and God is sitting there looking at us saying, my son, my daughter, why don't you be honest? Why don't you be truthful? You are justifying yourself before them, but God says, I saw what you did, I heard what you said, and I heard how you acted. Hallelujah. So you can't justify yourself before me. I'm a leader, believer that mess up all the time and go to the Word of God and twist God's scripture to justify themselves before men. I'm so glad I'm not a leader, believer. I only got one last point. I heard somebody in their mind say, thank you, Jesus. I can read minds. Last point. All right, there are more, but this, you can find where you want to be here. An unbelieving believer can use relationships as a crutch or excuse for not being obedient and trusting God. Using relationships for not trusting and obeying God. The greatest example of using a relationship is Adam. The first man. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read four verses. Then I will give you the reference that you can read. You all spend time on another example. I will highlight it, but you can read it. Using other people to justify why you messed up. Using relationship. Well, why aren't you what God wants you to be? Oh, if you knew what my wife was doing at home. Oh, if you knew what my children was taking me through. If you just knew what, I said, why, what my husband is doing. Or you just don't understand what my parents. Stop using those excuses. Relationships. They are hindering you from doing what God wants you to do. Verse 8 reads, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, that's the first time, that's when you know you really messed up. Somebody for the church come around to you. Right? Because you know everything ain't going on with me. So you just hide from. Hey, somebody said, first lady's coming. Oh, don't. Tell I ain't here. Hide. Elder such and such is coming. Oh, just try to hide. Right? So they use people and they hide. So they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, where are you? Hallelujah. Just imagine, sometimes in church, when God looks out, and you know God ain't really looking at, and you still at home and should have been in church, God said, where are you? But I'm hiding myself because my relationship is all messed up. So I can't face anybody else because I got a bad relationship. God said, where are you? And why are you hiding yourself? This is one of the characteristics of an unbelieving believer, always using a relationship to justify why they disobey God and don't honor his word. Let me say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And verse 11 says, he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Now the question is, he said, have you done what I told you not to do? God said, I gave you a specific commandment. Don't touch the tree that's in the middle of the garden. See, when you go into the garden, God said, all those trees that you won't pass, you could have eaten from. He said, why did you pass everything that was before and you went to the middle of the garden and disobeyed me? When you could have eaten from everything that was before you got in the nest. So the Lord said, have you eaten the tree where I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, using a relationship to justify why she disobeyed God. The woman who thou gave to be with me, she gave me to eat and I did. God said, wait a minute. You have a relationship with me. How many of us have a relationship with God? You got a relationship with me, you got a relationship with an individual. You chose that relationship in obedience to that over me? God said, what is this that thou hast done? What were you thinking about? What were your mind? I told you specifically not to, but you did it anyway. And you want to use your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your best friend as a reason. Relationship. Are preventing us from being obedient to God. Those are the seven character traits that most influence us to show that we are an unbelieving believer. But how many know there's hope? I said, how many know there's hope? It's time to come out of that. It's time to come out of whatever's happening now. It's time for me to lose that chain that God has set me free from. It's time for me to say, Lord, whatever way
career. We should definitely pursue a career, because without a career, you're nothing, but not in place of God. You have to see ye first the what? Kingdom of God and His righteousness means you have to do what's right in the eyes of God. Today, we have an obligation to seek God. As we all stand, are you an unbelieving believer? Are you a straight out believer? A straight out believer says, I fully trust God. There are times when God has asked me to do things I don't understand. But because I believe, I trust God. I trust God. The Bible says about God, now I don't know a man that can fit this description. It says that God is not a man that he will lie. So if God has told any of us anything, God will not lie. And God will do just what he says he will do. Somebody said, well, God might leave me in a bad direction.